Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to the Voice of Victory broadcast. What is true righteousness? We live in a society that is in a decay from the morals of yesteryear. There seems to be fewer and fewer examples of righteousness around us. The Bible teaches us that the righteousness of even the best person is as filthy rags. It took the supernatural perfection of Christ to pay the debt of our unrighteousness so that we may have the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven. This morning, Pastor Holland will examine Romans and Philippians as he begins his two-part series entitled, Christ, Our Righteousness.
Turn to Romans chapter 10, and then if you would flip over to Philippians chapter 3, just hold your finger there. We'll get to those two passages of Scripture in just a moment for our text. Speaking on the subject this morning is Christ, our righteousness. And I wonder what comes to mind when we think of righteousness. The dictionary defines righteousness as conforming to a standard of right and justice or virtuous. It says the act of being morally right. But how does God define righteousness? That's really what matters, isn't it? The matter of righteousness is what the Bible's all about. It's what Calvary and the cross and what Jesus did in order that he might be righteous for us. And that's exactly what we're talking about this morning. But according to God's righteousness, it's bringing people to God's standard of righteousness. The Bible commands us that we are to be righteous and to be holy. But the Chinese character for righteousness is most interesting. It's composed of two separate characters, one standing for a lamb and the other standing for me. I think that's quite the picture that we see in the life of the child of God. It's because of the lamb we can be righteous in Christ. Not because of anything that we've done, but righteousness is formed. And I believe that pictures the grace of God. The only way that you and I can enter into heaven, and I want you to understand that, is by the righteousness of God. There's nothing that we can do in order upon ourselves. The Bible said we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God. But yet Christ, in His death, has provided the righteousness that we need in our life. The Bible said in Mark 8, 36 and 37, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We speak of the righteousness of Christ. We're thinking about what God wants in our life as sinners, what He wants us to be. The Bible said in Isaiah 64, verse 6, and this describes all of us to a T, it said, "All our righteousness are as filthy rags, and do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." So truly today, we cannot meet God's standard in our righteousness, but only in the righteousness of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." I want you to understand this morning that there's nothing at all that you and I can do to obtain our salvation except believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and accept His righteousness for what we have done, because we have no ability and there's none of us that are good enough to get our place in heaven. Christ, our righteousness, is a glorious truth. The righteousness of God is required by all sinners. It's required by all sinners, and I want you to look with me, if you would, at our text found in Romans 10, verses 1 through 4. He said, and this is Paul speaking, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they, having a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." I don't know of any passage that's any plainer than what Paul just told us right there, the importance of the righteousness of God in our life. Now, if you would, go over to Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, and I want to read verses 8 through 10. He said, "Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And here's what I want you to see. And being found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, I know there's a lot of people today that have the idea that, you know, all we have to do is call upon the name of the Lord and we're saved and we're just going to all spend eternity in heaven with one another and be joyful forever and ever. That is true to the fact that if you're saved, we all will spend eternity in heaven forever and ever and have the joy of life. But I believe God expects us when we get saved, in order that we might understand if we are saved, we've received the righteousness of Christ, and therefore having the righteousness of Christ, we should do all we could and all we can in our life to be as righteous as we possibly can. The first requirement that we see that He gives to us, He tells us that we need to be holy. The Bible said in Leviticus 9, verse 2, the Lord told Moses, "Speak unto the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, for ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." God commands us to be holy. A friend, today, it's not a flippant attitude. I'm saved, I'm on the way to heaven, it don't matter what I do. It does matter what we do. We need to live according to the Word of God and strive to live and lead a holy life. We will never measure up to the righteousness of God, but we ought to do all we can to be as righteous as we possibly can in our life. So in order to be holy, we must accept and receive the righteousness of God in our life, the righteousness of Him. He changes the man into what he needs to be. In fact, when God looks down, He doesn't see us, but He sees Christ and Christ's righteousness, which He's bestowed upon us. Donald Barnhouse, a great writer, said this. He wrote, "Our God is a demanding God. His very nature demands of Him that He demand of us more than we can ever supply. The requirement of His righteousness is a righteousness equal to His own. He can never accept human righteousness as a compromising payment. Perfection demands perfection. That's why salvation must be by grace. Friend, perfection demands perfection, and Christ's righteousness is perfection. And although we may never meet that, He is supplying our need. Never has He required anything in us that He is not able to finish and give us in our life. And God's able to give us the thing that we need. The salvation is instantaneous, but we serve God. We seek His righteousness in order that we might be the righteousness in God. And so God requires of all sinners, there's nobody going to heaven except they've received the righteousness of God. There's not going to be somebody at the door to measure your works, to weigh them out, decide whether you're good or bad or whether you go in or you don't go in. The fact is, all of us one day will go in and we'll stand before God and we'll give account of our life. Now, first of all, we see the requirement, but next of all, we see the reason. In Isaiah 64, verse 6, the Bible said, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags." John Wesley said, "The very best of us all are no better than the uncleanest thing." Well, that's quite a statement, isn't it? He said, "The very best of us are no better than the uncleanest things." Listen, when we think of that, we understand to be apart from the righteousness of God. We are filthy, we're unrighteous, we're unholy, we're separated from God. But when we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive the righteousness of God in our life. Charles Spurgeon said, "Saints are so righteous in Jesus Christ that they're more righteous than Adam was before he fell. For he had but a creature of righteousness, and they have the righteousness of the Creator. He had the righteousness which he lost, but believers have the righteousness which they can't lose, an everlasting righteousness. Either Christ becomes your righteousness or you remain in sin. Either you accept him or you have to pay the sin debt and be saved by your own works, which is impossible because we're only saved by the righteousness of God." Second of all, we find God's righteousness revealed in Scripture. We find in verses 3 and 4 of our text today, He said, "They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness." And by the way, that's where we are today. People are running around trying to get their own righteousness and do their own thing. There's preachers today that'll stand and say, if you do good and you know you're going to get there, if you're nice to people and if you go to church every now and then, if you're faithful to do this, then you're going to make it. And that's just not true. We're only going to get there by the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God which He declared upon us when He saved us by His marvelous grace. If we go back, we understand this was revealed in the Old Testament. Adam and Eve, when they fell, they realized that they were naked. Up until that time, they did not. But yet they slew a lamb in order that they might have covering. The lamb is merely a picture of the foretaste of the perfection and the righteousness of the Lamb of God that would come and take away the sin of the world. I really wonder, I hear people that are supposed to be so smart, and yet they're trying to add something to salvation, and the Bible is so plain in teaching that there's no other way, there's nothing to add to. Even in the Old Testament, we're told that it was by the blood of the Lamb that we have the righteousness of God. We find the illustration of the Bible, if you remember, the Passover lamb. God told them that they were to take the blood and put it on the lintels of the door, and on the doorpost and the lintel. And He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Friend, that's the only way you're going to get to heaven today. The only way that I'm going to get to heaven today is when Christ looks down and sees His blood has been applied to each and every one of our lives. There was a young Jewish daughter that grew up in New York. In fact, she was the daughter of a New York rabbi. And oftentimes he would read the Bible in the home and they would read it together. But always, when he come to Isaiah, he always skipped the 53rd chapter. He never did go there. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. And his daughter would often ask him, she said, Dad, why do we skip that? He said, that's not for us. We don't need to read that. And so she was puzzled as why they would have anything in their Bible that was not for them. And so she one day sat down and copied the 53rd chapter. She hid it in her stocking and carried it with her for years. In fact, said that she took better care of it than most people take care of their money. And one day when she had left home, she was walking on the streets of New York, and she heard a lady reading Isaiah 53. As she stopped and listened to what the lady had to say, she heard her talking about the Lord and what He had done, and told her that that referred to Jesus Christ. And that lady right there, that Jewish lady, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior and was born again by the Spirit of God. Don't ever omit anything in the Bible. Every bit of it is true. We must understand today that we're not saved by our righteousness, but the righteousness of God. Not only is it revealed in the Old Testament, but we find it revealed in the New Testament. In John 1:29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith unto him, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Warren Wiersbe wrote, John's announcement is the answer to Isaac's question. You remember what Isaac said when Abraham took him and they were going to offer Isaac on the altar? Isaac asked the question. He said, well, Dad, where's the lamb? And finally, in the New Testament, John comes along and says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, there's people today, and I really don't understand it. They'll tell you, say, well, we're all headed for the same place. We just go in different routes. How in the world they get that? We're not going a different route. We're going the only route, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ and His righteousness.
Which route is your life following? Christ is truly the only way to obtain righteousness and salvation. The sacrifice has already been made, substituting His perfection for our sin. Will you accept His invitation? Will you choose victory today?
This is Gary Holland, and today's message came to you from the pulpit of Victory Baptist Church, where I serve as pastor. If God has touched your life through the Voice of Victory broadcast, please let us know by contacting us at victorybaptistchurch.us, where all regular services are webcast live. Written correspondence can be addressed to Victory Baptist Church at 938 North Pine Tree Boulevard, Thomasville, Georgia, 31792.
We would like to invite you to our services this morning at Victory Baptist Church, or you can join us on the internet. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week at this same time.